and you gotta do it. You gotta put it down and do it. Take the kids somewhere, you know, and just go do something. There's a lot of stuff to see. You don't have to spend a whole lot of money doing it. And but I always encourage people to do that, and just to, you know, plan it or you won't do it. That's what happens. You know, before you know it, it's going to be October, it's going to be September, and you're going to have, you know, 6 months of snot again. So so just let me encourage you to do that. Let's go to Hosea chapter 4. And this is something that that I got from Pastor Al Hughes. Al Hughes is a pastor out in Port Orchard, Washington for 40 years. And retired a few years back, but just an old school Bible believer, pastor of the same church there in Puget Sound for 40 years, and just been a blessing to me over the years. And he retired a couple years back and started putting a lot of his stuff down on paper and writing books, and it's been a real blessing to me. And he wrote this specifically, I think, more for pastors and counselors and ministry workers. However, it's got a lot of good material in it for everyone. And so I gleaned some stuff from it, and I thought it would be something that would be a blessing to you. Look at Hosea chapter 4 and verse 17. Ephraim is joined to idols. Look at the next three words. What's he say? Let them alone. Go over here to Matthew chapter 13. And Hosea's reference there is echoed by Ezekiel. When the elders of Judah come to Ezekiel, and the Lord said, "A son of man, these men have set up idols in their heart. Don't worry about it. There's nothing you can do to help them. Nothing you can do to help them. They're coming to you, and they're asking you for advice, but you can't help them. You can't help them. They've already made up their mind." Have you ever had someone come to you, ask you for advice? They didn't really want advice. They just wanted your fingerprints on their murder weapon. And that happens. Look at, where'd I say go? Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Some people are, they're an interrogative pit. Is what they are. They're an interrogative pit. And what I mean by that is they're just a giant hole that constantly asks questions. And you throw answers into that hole, but they never actually get anything from any of your answers. They just like the attention of someone giving them answers to their questions. They just want, really what they want to do is just talk a lot of times. And, you know, everybody needs to talk, and that's okay. But look at Matthew chapter 13, and look at verse 58. Speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, look at verse 57. "And they were offended in him. But Jesus said to them, 'A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house.' And he did not many mighty works there." Because of what? Because of their unbelief. Because of their unbelief. Mark, I think it's Mark, Mark chapter 6, Mark chapter 6, verse 5, Mark 6, 5, "And he could do there no mighty work," could do there no mighty work. Why? Because of their unbelief. He could do there no mighty work. That's Jesus Christ. There were people that Jesus Christ couldn't help. Why? They didn't respect them. They didn't listen to them. There are people that you can't help. And this is a lesson on people you can't help. And I won't finish it tonight. But there are people that you can't help. The Lord said, "Leave Ephraim alone. There's nothing you can do for him." And this may sound cynical, but it's not. It's not cynical. It's just reality. And there's a couple reasons for teaching this lesson. Look at Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. not all of this will apply to family. All of us have family that's difficult. And, you know, when you're married to someone or you have a parent or a child, you know, you're dealing with them is different than it might be dealing with a neighbor or a coworker or someone that you're trying to help. Family always takes on a different dynamic. Now, if your only interaction in the world is with your family, then this lesson might be kind of difficult, because I don't want you to just apply it to family, because family is a little bit of a different dimension. There will be things that you can apply to marriage in the home, but this is not a lesson about marriage or your family in general. This is just about people you're trying to help that at some point you have to realize you can't. And look at Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. And look at verse 3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. You know, at some point, a prudent man, that's a man that considers his ways. He's thoughtful about his ways. He makes decisions based on wisdom and understanding. The prudent man looks at a situation and realizes that nothing good is going to come out of it. And, that, you know, you reach a place like that sometimes in life. Look at Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 18. The simple inherit what? Folly, right? And that sometimes what you get for your efforts for dealing with some people is nothing. Nothing but a big frustration. That's what folly is. Right, folly is a flawed, in the Bible, folly is a flawed philosophical system or mindset. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Look at verse 8 of the same chapter. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. We need to understand our way. We need to be cerebral. We need to step back sometimes and look at what we're doing and where we're going in a particular situation. But he says the folly of fools is what? What does he say? Deceit? Is that what he says there? Some people like being deceived. Some people like talking themselves into stuff. And I can tell you in my life that I have talked myself into thinking I could help people. And, you know, all of us have different reasons for why. Sometimes it's just we're super sensitive. Sometimes there's a hidden ego or pride where, man, no one else can help this person, but I think I can because I'm just so smart, because I've got it figured out. And the truth is there are just some people you can't help. Now, that when I say that, I'm not saying that that person is beyond help. Right? What do I mean by that? I mean, there's people that I can't help that someone else might be able to. Right? Not all of us have the wrench for every nut. We just don't, for a lot of reasons. Right? And so when I say there's people you can't help, I mean you as in you. But I'm not saying there isn't someone that can help them. I think somebody can, you know? And there's a lot of reasons for that, and we'll go over some of those reasons. But, and so don't misunderstand me when I say you can't help that person. That's different from saying that person is beyond help. Only God can decide when someone is beyond help, right? And we're not, none of us are God, okay? But there's a couple reasons for this lesson. And one is the verses I just mentioned about the prudent man. It's to help you invest your time and energy wisely. We all only have a certain amount of time, and we must redeem the time. And the truth of the matter is there are time wasters in life. I know that sounds terrible to say, but it is true. There's true. You know, Pastor Blue used to say there's in life, there's VIPs, there's VFPs, and there's VDPs. There's very important people, there's very faithful people, and there's very draining people. Okay. Anyways, number two. So number one, just help us to be a little discerning. And you know, I admit that I'm not all that good at this. But secondly, to help you unload any feelings of guilt or frustration because you failed in your attempt to help someone. Sometimes we feel bad because we can't help somebody. And I think we all have a desire to be helpful. We all have a desire to be used of God, right? And sometimes when we fail in that attempt, we blame ourselves. But it's not always your fault. In fact, most of the time it's not. Ultimately, people are responsible for their own decisions, right? You know, when a disaster like a hurricane or a tornado hits, you know, and you feel helpless. You know, when you're walking down the beach and there's 5 million starfish washed up on the shore, I hate to tell you this, but you can't save every one of them. You can try to throw them all back, but you're not going to be able to save them all. And it's not your fault that you can't save them all. It just is what it is. But we get frustrated and we try to help. And, you know, have you ever tried to help someone and you got frustrated? Yeah. And we blame ourselves. We tend to blame ourselves. And I don't think you should. And, you know, every person on earth needs help in some area, right? Including me. Okay? We're all born into a sin-damaged, sin-cursed world. And we all need help. But that doesn't mean that everyone is willing to receive help. Right? You have to be in the right frame of mind. You have to have the right heart, in order to receive help. Look at Luke chapter 5 as an example. Look at Luke chapter 5. Let me ask you a question. Do you think the Pharisees needed something, or were they good to go? They were good to go. But did they get anything from Jesus Christ? Well, that means Jesus Christ is a failure. Right? In the modern purpose-driven mentality, right? Everybody can be reached if approached the right way. That's garbage. That doesn't mean we shouldn't be wise. Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, right? He that winneth souls is what? So we ought to use wisdom. We ought not to be idiots. We ought to be kind. All of these things. But don't think that you messed up just because you couldn't reach a particular person. Right? That's not your burden to bear. And look at why I know that? Because Jesus Christ didn't reach everybody. And he never did one thing wrong. Right? But he did everything that God wanted him to do. He said, I have finished the work that you called me to do. Did he not say that? Okay, so Jesus Christ did not fail in not reaching the Pharisees. Look at Luke chapter 5. And look at verse 31. And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician. Now that's a truism, right? They that are whole. You don't need a doctor if you're not sick, right? But of course he's being facetious here. Why? Because the Pharisees aren't whole, but they think they are. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You cannot help someone that doesn't think they have that doesn't believe they have a problem. It's just not going to work. Okay? And you have to remember that. You can't help everybody. And if people don't see they have a problem, especially. People don't go to the doctor till they realize that they're sick. You know, what did James say? Confess your faults one to another, right? If a person is not willing to admit that they have a problem, You're done. And we could go on and on with that. Now, you following me so far? Yeah. Okay, good. some people think you're the problem. Yeah, that's what people think, you know. Have you ever given your kids some advice and they didn't listen, and then a friend or a girlfriend or a boyfriend told them the same thing and they listened? Right? You ever told your daughter, put on a jacket? And she's like, I'm fine. Then the boy walks in and says, it's cold. And she's like, okay. Right? That's when you realize that things have changed. You know? Some of that's just the way it is. Some kids just, you know, you can tell. Sometimes I've told a young person something and they listen. Their parents will say to me, I've been telling them that for years. Of course you have. Right? But sometimes a kid gets something, and vice versa, but sometimes a kid gets something in their head where they can't receive something from somebody. Right? And when a person is not receiving things from you, you're stuck. Right? And you can get frustrated, you can get angry, you can throw a fit, you can spit, you can cry, but it's not going to change until they're ready to receive things from you. Now, people's problems are classified into two categories, right? Basically, spiritual and material / physical. Okay. We're going to mainly talk about the spiritual stuff. And look at Romans chapter 12. The reason I say that is because it's much easier to help someone materially or physically. Okay? You can pull, if someone's got a flat tire on the side of the road, you can pull over and help them. Okay, but that same person you try to tell them about Jesus, you might not have the same result. Right? You can drop off a bag of groceries at somebody's house that needs food. You help to them. Okay? And they'll eat it, right? But it's different with spiritual food. It's different with character. It's different with emotional things. Okay? But so basically two categories, spiritual or physical. And a lot of problems are results of spiritual problems. Look at Romans chapter 12 here. And look at Romans chapter 12, look at verse 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, what? Feed him. Okay. So you can help people materially. If he thirst, give him drink. In so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. So when I say people you can't help, I'm not talking about somebody that you can, give a helping hand. You can do that. Right, I'm talking about spiritual help, and spiritual help is a two-way street. Okay, so there's two things. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. There's two things you want to write this down. There's two things that you can never give a person. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, this is frustrating, right, if you don't get it, but once you get it, it's very liberating. It's very liberating. It's very common, and we all do it. It's not, we all do this. It's weird how we tend to take responsibility for things we shouldn't, and we don't take responsibility for things we should. Isn't that interesting? We always take responsibilities for other people's thoughts, for other people's actions. And then sometimes we don't take responsibility for our own emotional health and our own reactions. And I just think that's part of growing in the Lord, right? Growing mentally, growing emotionally, growing spiritually, growing in His Word, and figuring this stuff out. There's some burdens. Life is full of burdens, but there are burdens that God did not intend us to carry, right? And, there's enough that you have, I was just... walking down the hill yesterday, and I was thinking about every step, this disc right here was just killing me. And I've never had that problem, right? And I was thinking about Brother Brett, because Brother Brett's got, his knees are bothering him. And you know how that is when people are like, hey, pray for my back. If you've never had a back problem, you're like, sure. But you know what I'm talking about, right? But if you've been through it or you know what it feels like, it's different. But I was, I don't know what I meant to say about that. What did I mean to say about that? I don't know. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I was walking down the hill. I was thinking about my back, and I totally spaced out what I was going to say. It will come to me later. I was thinking about Brother Brett. That's what got me distracted, was Brother Brett. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. I don't know what's going on in your heart. Right? I don't. I can guess. Maybe as you get older and have more experience, sometimes you can guess it right. Okay? But I don't know. And I cannot, listen, there's two things that you can never give a person. You cannot give a person spirituality. You cannot make someone spiritual. It is impossible. It is a matter of the heart, right? Spirituality is based on an individual surrendering their own will to the truth of God. And you cannot do it. You can dress them up. You can discipline them or shame them if they don't say the right things or do the right things, but that's not making them spiritual. You can clothe them with all of the religious garb. That's not making someone spiritual. You can never make someone spiritual. Ladies, you cannot make your husband spiritual. I said there'd be some family stuff here, right? Husbands, you cannot make your wife spiritual. You can be an example. You can pray, but you can't make anyone spiritual. You cannot make your kids spiritual. Doesn't work, right? And in fact, you'll ruin them trying to make them spiritual. It just doesn't work that way. Okay, you cannot make someone spiritual. Look at Proverbs chapter 26, okay? So two things you can't give a person. Number one, you cannot give a person spirituality. And look at Proverbs chapter 26. And look at verse 16. Proverbs 26:16. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. You ever tried to convince someone that they need to do something? This would be good for you. Hey, finish that degree. Hey, improve your property. Hey, whatever it may be, right? Hey, fix that car, right? Hey, get out of bed, right? Hey, pick up this good habit, right? You ever tried to do that? But you cannot give a person character. Right? The person that is lazy, the person that is unfaithful, the person that is unreliable, right? The person that is dishonest cannot be forced into honesty or hard work. You cannot give a person character. They will always have a reason for doing what they want to do because it's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. And people who don't want to do something will always have someone to blame for why they don't do it, right? But what the problem is character, and you can't give someone character. Look at Proverbs chapter 14. Now, you can be trained in character as a young person. It is very difficult to get character when you're older, right? To rewire those, right? To rewire that system going on in your head that was set up that way, that was affixed in your formative years, right? To get out of those literal grooves in your neuroreceptors in your brain, right? That's very hard. Now you can, but boy, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work, and it takes an act of the will in order to do that. So you look at Proverbs chapter 14, look at verse 14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Now look what it says. And a good man shall what? From who? From himself. Right? There are some things that a person has that have to come from within. Love, joy, and peace are three of them. Right? But a man, it will only be satisfied in his life and will only get help when he decides to change and when he makes effort. He will be satisfied from himself, right? And we can force people to do things so that we can be satisfied with them, but that person will still not be satisfied. You have to be satisfied from yourself. And that can be a frustrating thing if you think that you can give a person character, right? The time to learn character, for the most part, is when you're real young. And then after that, it's a bunch of work. It's a bunch of work. And you can't force anyone to change. You are not God Junior. You know? So, what can you do? What can you give people? Look at Acts chapter 20. Look at Acts chapter 20. People you can't help. There are people you can't help. Acts chapter 20, verse 20. Look what Paul says to the Ephesian elders here. Acts chapter 20, verse 20. He says, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house. Paul says that for 3 years I was ministering among you, and I didn't keep anything from you that could have helped you. He said, for 3 years I taught you in public, and I taught you from house to house. He went from house church to house church, and he met with them in the open. He says, I didn't keep back anything that I thought would help you. I gave it to you. I gave it to you. So look at Proverbs chapter, Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9, and look at verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man. What? He'll be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Right? Over and over in Proverbs, look at Proverbs chapter 7, look at verse 1. My son, keep my what?
Words.
And lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my what? Okay. So you know what the Lord's saying to his son? He says, this, I'm telling you what to do, and I'm telling you how to do it. Right? So what can we give people? We can give people information. You can give people information. Look at Philippians chapter 4. If someone needs information, if they need information on how to get the victory over something, you can give it to them. You can go to your little black book. You can go to the manual. What is it? It's this right here. Right? You can give that to people. If people want it, you can give them the truth. You can give them the Word of God. The Bible says that the Word of God, Paul says in Acts 20, 28, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up. So you can give people information. Okay? Now look at this. Look at Philippians chapter 4. You can give people information, and then you can give people this. Philippians chapter 4, and look at verse 9. Now look at this. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard. Okay, what's that? That's information. And then what's he say? And what? Seen in me. Okay, so you can give people information and you can give people an illustration. You can give them an example. You can live what you preach. You can say, this is how I do it. You know, person says, I'm struggling with this. Okay? Well, this is how I got the victory. Right? This is how it worked in my life. Okay? People, our kids, they can watch us, how we interact. Our kids can watch how we deal with problems. Our kids can watch when we are wrong, how we react. Our kids can watch when we get in a stressful situation, how we respond. Right? When we get in an emergency, how we act. Right? When we're wronged. These kind of things. We can speak, but we can also show, right? So we can give people information, we can give people illustrations or demonstrations, right? Those are the only two things you can give people spiritually. You can give them words, right? And you can give them your walk. What else? Can you please give me a third thing? Please tell me another thing that you can give that person. That person that won't quit drinking. That person that won't quit shooting up. That person that can't be faithful. That person that blah, 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 blah. What can you give them besides information and illustration? Can you tackle them? You can, right? Can you, send the missionaries over to their house and say, hey, we haven't seen you in a while, right? Is that what you do? I mean, can you shame them? Can you tell the people in church, don't go by their business anymore? That's what the Mormons do down there in Rexburg, Idaho. Right? Try starting a church in some of these Mormon towns, or not church, a business in some of these towns that are 90% Mormon. They're going to tell them, don't support that guy. I mean, you can do that kind of stuff, right? But that's not real help. That's just more control. That's more religion. What can you give people besides illustration and information? The answer is nothing. Nothing. Okay? There's one more thing you can do. It's another I. Does anyone want to guess what it is? Who said it's prayer? Exactly. Right? Intercession. All right? Look at 1 Samuel chapter 12. All right? There's two things you can give, but there's one more thing you can do. And I want to tell you, I feel like this is so overlooked. You've heard me say this before, right? If every Christian prayed for our leaders as much as we whine about them, I wonder what God would do. Okay, because we're never commanded to whine about them, but we are commanded to pray for them. Right? It's like almost as if God knew what he was doing when he says stuff. You know what I'm saying? But wouldn't the same go for other people? Right? There's people that we try to mentally, right, psychologically manipulate. There's people that we try to do this or that to please them. Right? And sometimes I'm not saying we shouldn't do things, but we ought to at least equal that in prayer. Because a lot of times, without God's interference, nothing's going to happen. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 12. And you know the story, right? Samuel was rejected, right? But Samuel was not rejected. Israel rejected God from being their king, but Samuel took it personally. This is very common. Do you understand a lot of times that when people reject what we're trying to give them, they're not technically rejecting us. They're rejecting the truth, right? I remember one time in my office, had a guy, jump up and just take a swing at me. And, he was high, And not high high in his own way, right? He was, just hitting all the anti-anxiety meds and mixing them with stimulants and then the Sebutex, all the stuff they give for the heroin addicts. And he just, the triple crown, he was just being an idiot. And he just, and I had to take that guy and hold him down, And this isn't a junkie off the street. This is someone I love, right? It was hard. It was hard, but where did I say go? 1 Samuel 12. But there was nothing I could do to get him to stop doing what he was doing. And I thought because he loved me and I loved him and we'd known each other for a long time that for some reason our rapport and his desire to do right or whatever, that we could somehow work it out. And bending over backwards to help this person, but this person did not want to change. And dealing with addicts, dealing with people with true mental problems, it is so easy to think that you can do them. And, wrestling my friend down and I'm crying while I'm doing it and I'm frustrated because I think there's something I can do, but only God can help him. Only God. And I'm taking it personally that he's choosing this addiction over his family and over me. But I can't take it personally. Because it's not about me. It's about the chemical need for those drugs. It's about his rebellion to God, right? It's not about me. And Samuel, when Israel rejected God from being king, Samuel took it personally. And remember what the Lord said to Samuel? They have not rejected thee, they've rejected me. And you have got to remember that. Always remember that. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 12, I'm never going to get it in 2 Samuel. First Samuel 12, look at verse 23. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in continuing to send you letters. Is that what he says? Moreover, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and right way. He says, I'll be here to teach you if you want to learn. But says, the one thing I'm never going to stop doing is praying. Okay. So can God give someone up? I guess technically he can. There's places in Scripture where it seems like he does. But we don't know when he does that. And we're not God. And Samuel says, for me to stop praying for you is a sin. We can give people information, and we can give people illustration. We can give them example. And by the way, the information without the example, you know, that's part of the problem in America. We all learn how to argue, right? But we don't show a lot of temperance in our own lives. The one thing that we can always do is get God in on it, because that's where the miracles happen. Intercession. Information, illustration, and intercession. Look at Psalms 119. Psalms 119. So, I don't know if this is helping you, but if it's not helping you now, it'll help you later. So I hope you're taking notes. You know, I hope you want to help somebody. I know you do. I know you do. Right? We all have people that we love that we want to help. And as a Christian, we ought to want to. You just have to understand that there's sometimes that if it's not reciprocal. Psalms 119, look at verse 67. Psalms 119 and verse 67. It's a great verse. And you know, we know it's true because we see it in our own lives. What's David say? Before I was afflicted, I what? I went astray. But what? How many know that's true? How many of you know that verse is true? Amen. Right? Before I was afflicted, before I got a little swat on the fanny, I was doing my own thing. But now, I'm doing the right thing. Right? Yeah. Right? Now, who can afflict people? Exactly. Not you and not me. Right? That's what we want to do sometimes. We decide, okay, you're not taking information and you're not taking illustration, so now I'm going to give you indignation. I'm going to inflict punishment. But listen, when it comes to judgment, God's the one, that's his wheelhouse. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. The Lord knows how to do that and we don't. The wrath of man, the Bible says, worketh not the righteousness of God. And any time our wrath gets involved in our anger, we mess it up every stinking time. You will mess it up 100% of the time. When we are the one imposing penalties, right? And I'm not talking about withdrawing from people that are hurting you, or I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I hope you understand. But when we are the ones who decide that we are judge, jury, and executioner, we always are wrong, right? If thine enemy hunger, what's the Bible says? Give him food. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. We can always help people materially. We can always bring people in from the cold and give them some hot tea, right? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when we decide that it's our time to afflict. It's not our turn. That's the Lord's wheelhouse. That's the Lord's job. And sometimes that's what it takes. There are times, what does David say? It is time for thee, O Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. The truth of the matter is that there are people that until God puts the screws to them, they're going to keep doing whatever they want to do. And some of us know that's true because that's how we were. You know? You know? Not everybody listens the first time or the 100th time. Okay? So we give people information and we give them illustration. And when those two things don't work, that doesn't mean we stop loving. That doesn't mean we stop being kind. Right? But we have to emancipate ourselves. We have to free ourselves from the guilt of taking responsibility for other people's decisions. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Now, that's all introduction. So, there's like 10 kinds of people that you can't help. Okay, that's what I've got. So we'll do it next Wednesday because obviously it's 8 o'clock. Okay.